sexy, smart, beautiful confidants. Welcome back to another episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. And this episode is exactly that. I know nothing about this subject. I'm so excited to bring on my friend, founder, boss, bitch, woman. Let's bring in Alix, founder and CEO of Bev, which is a wine in a can company that has absolutely taken over the fucking scene. Alix, hi. Thanks for joining.
Hi, Kelsey, my favorite. How are you?
So good. I normally like ease people into questions and like get their background and are like, oh, here's how I know this person. But I'm going to like skip all the bullshit because I know you can handle this. And I just want to like direct fucking pick go deep into your brain. Is that cool?
I mean, for fuck's sake, please do it.
Okay. So how much money do you have in your bank account right now?
I would be lucky if it was $10,000.
Okay. And Bev just got, the company Bev is your beverage company, just got like an ass load of money, right? Like, tell me what the fuck, like brag a little bit. Will you brag a little bit about Bev?
Yeah. So okay. It's actually kind of funny because like this is such a founder thing when you run a company and everyone's like, oh my God, you just got a, you know, $7 million investment or whatever. And we've been, you know, our sales have been really good. They're, you know, over $1 million a month right now. So it's like, oh my God, so much going on. Yeah. It's like wild. Quarantine.
Bevs a month?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's real. It's been fucking crazy. I mean, it's actually, I'm like, is it? It's actually like when you're talking about it in Bevs, it's actually more than $1 million a month. But anyway, it's a whole,
that's insane.
It's been a whole thing. But I feel like it's funny because like people often think you're like, oh, your company's so successful, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like lucky if I like am running in four digits on a normal day-to-day
basis. But like, tell me why, because I think like, you know, your company has this gorgeous, like beachfront office in Venice, like the most iconic spot. You fucking painted it hot pink. Like you cannot miss Bev's stamp on the industry right now. Like you just, you're so loud and like, I'm trailblazing and fucking coming through with wine in a can and I'm like under 30 years old. So like, fuck everyone. And like, how does that happen and you don't feel like you have the, you know, right amount of money in your bank account as like what your business clearly has been presented to as the public?
I mean, it's like basically, I mean, you're paper rich, cash poor. You know what I mean? So it's like all of the money that the company has is the company's and it's just fueled back into the company. And when you're like, when you're a young founder and you take every single dime you have to invest. I mean, I'm sure people could say something similar to you where it's like, oh my God, you have so many, you know, followers and you just had this, did this book and you have this podcast and everyone's so engaged. Yeah. Like you must be swimming in it. And it's
Everything goes like, right back into the business.
Exactly. It always, exactly. So that's kind of where, you know, it's like, it's funny. It's like a weird perception thing, you know? And it's like, yeah, you live in like a place that's nice and doable, but it's like, because if you don't, you'll lose your mind and you won't be able to, everything you do is like, you're a slave to the business.
Right. And I,
you know like, what I mean?
I totally judge like how people's success is, how successful they are based on if they have a Peloton or not. And you do.
Or like, I do have a Peloton.
You have a Peloton and one of those smart mirrors. Ah!
I do. Yeah. Well, to
but
be fair.
But you need that to like function as a human.
I do. I mean, it's funny because like I used to work to take time off and now I take time off so that I can better work. Do you know what I'm saying?
100%.
Yeah. So it's like all of the things that I'm doing, like taking care of, I mean, it's funny because I'm a sole founder of my business. All the things I'm doing, I'm taking care of like the business's biggest asset.
Which is
you.
So
I have... Yeah. Right?
Like, it's weird. You started this shit by yourself. How old are you, just so the audience knows?
I literally just turned 30.
Happy birthday. And you started Bev what age? Like, what was the inception? And
I was 26.
So in 4 years, essentially, you were able to raise how many millions of dollars for the company?
10.
Holy fuck. Holy fuck. And so like we got connected because when I was at BuzzFeed, I was like the face of alcohol and especially wine. And like we had a mutual friend and we connected and you were like, you have to drink Bev. I drank Bev and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is like so for me. And then you invited me to this sort of like gather all chick gathering at your house. And I was like, who is this chick who has this amazing house, these fluffy cats, like such a strong brand representation, and has time to help other women? Like that just, I couldn't compute because that wasn't really like a thing 4 years ago where people wanted to help out other women. And you made that space. Like, why was that important to you?
Oh my God. I mean, it's funny because getting into wine as a category and alcohol as a category was never the plan for me.
Oh, like, really?
I don't really, yeah, I love our product, obviously, and like I enjoy socializing and whatever, but it was never about booze ever. Wow. For me. It was always about the message behind why we're doing what we're doing, which is about sort of how men and women interact, how women support each other when defenses are down, when people are, you know, drinking and partying, and like what happens when all the barriers go down and the shit comes out. Like, who are you then?
Whoa.
And that's, you know what I mean? And that's what it's always been about for me. So that's how I ended up in booze totally by accident.
That's
and
crazy.
I have, yeah, it's weird because I have all sorts of like conflicting feelings about the industry.
Sure.
And yeah, and which is something that we could probably talk about for days on end. But yeah, but for like, me, it was always about like the brand and the media and like bringing people together in, you know, in a positive way. And so that was.
I think that stands out. Like, I think that that's what's made you guys so successful is that really is like the heart behind your mission. And it's like you talk the talk and walk the walk, and like I've seen it myself. But like touching a little bit on the booze industry as itself, I found it so brilliant that you came in at a time where wine was totally shifting to young millennial women. And I remember I would make these videos about wine, and then I would have like a long lost distant cousin or friend from high school that would be like, hey, I know this is so random, but I'm at this like beverage or hospitality conference and they just played your video and in front of hundreds of people, and they're talking about how wine is catering to the wrong people. Like wine is still seen as like this older, rich Napa Valley, stuffy nose shit. But it was like, we were drinking wine by the bottle every fucking week, and you were like, I see this, I'm going to be the face of it rather than letting some like old white dude, which is like what that wine industry is run by. And you're like, I'm not only going to be the face of it, but I'm going to make it like fucking hot pink. I'm going to make it really like memeable, very like, you know, cat friend. Like you did it. You fucking did that. Like you did such a brilliant thing. Oh, well, I'm so in awe of how successfully you did the thing that so many people set out to do. So like, what the fuck? How did that happen?
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm like, good.
Tell me your
question.
Life story without like whole thing.
I mean, I feel like it was so much of it was just, like passion, like actual, like true passion. Like, and again, for me, it's not about the wine per se. And right. I feel like if you look at the booze industry in general, you've got like the old white guy, like, mm-hmm. you know, she, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the heavily gendered branded beer mm-hmm. companies and tequila and Johnny Walker and mm-hmm. Jack Daniels. Mm-hmm. And like, it doesn't even matter. You know, it's just pick your poison. They're all, and they are, you know, poison. So
it's like, we're poisoning our bodies.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's really funny when people are like, I want a non-toxic wine. I'm like, you understand the word intoxicated. Right, like you get where that's coming from.
You
right?
want to smoke weed, friend.
yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous, but yeah, I mean, so much of it was just about like finding the where I wanted to put like my personality and soul behind, and just being like shameless about it. Like I mean, look at the, like my this entire screen you're looking at is like pink, and this is just. It's
this
not
is
for
just
show.
So you.
It's just me. Yeah, you know, and just being like shameless about that. And I think there's so many people who are trying to, they're both like overthinking it and not thinking about it enough.
Totally.
And it's, you know, it's really just like knowing your gut and then just charging after it no matter what.
Well, that takes a lot of confidence, which like talking just about your life personally, I watched you, like when I met you, you were already so confident and outgoing and like fearless about going into male dominated spaces and asking for what you want. And, you know, something I loved about that first like group chick meeting I attended, you were sharing secrets. You were like, do you want to know how I'm getting money? Like, do you want to know how I'm reaching out to my mentors? Like, here is my secret. And I thought that was so fascinating. Again, not only because, you know, back then women didn't want other women to succeed, but now it's like feminism, everyone.
I mean, that's still the case.
Let's be honest. Like, we become our own worst nightmare.
We just don't think that there's like supply for us. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there isn't, we present from a place of scarcity, not abundance. Mm. And whereas, you know, there's, for men, like there's always been enough to go around, and granted they're competitive and whatever, but it's, you know, one of my investors said to me at one point, he's like, getting rich is fun, but getting other people rich is more fun.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck yeah. But at the same time, I was having this conversation literally last night, but I was like, but we can't, the powers dynamics are not going to shift until we're not afraid to take it and run with it. You know what I mean? Like, until the money is there. Yeah. The power is not going to be there either. So,
speaking of like feminine power, I don't know. Did you read that article that came out like a couple weeks ago, like saying it was called like the end of the girl boss era?
It went viral
on Twitter, and it was basically like girl boss, the phrase, has always catered to privileged white women. Like, they come from money, they always had the pathway ahead of them, and it was just about like white women gaining confidence. And then when they got to the top, they became, like I said, like the worst enemy. Like, you see, you know, the Sofia Marusos or the toxic work culture. And like, you've been able to avoid that because that's not your...
I mean, I sure as hell hope so. And if not, somebody fucking tell me.
But it was basically saying like, we made this aesthetic, right? And they put like succulents and like millennial pink all over it and being like, rose gold, like they just tried to cancel an entire aesthetic with the article that I was kind of like, wait, all of that stuff makes me really happy. Why do we have to cancel like plants too with this?
Yeah.
But they were basically saying like girl boss was never accessible. And I was a little jaded because obviously that's me. And I was saying like, how have you been able to create a work culture that isn't that, like where you became successful without becoming the enemy?
Yeah, I mean, good question. That's something that I think everybody struggles with. Because the thing is, you know, and in defense of, you know, of some of the, and I don't know, I've never worked in any of these places, but like, I do think that men are given the opportunity to mess up and learn a lot more than women are. And I think that a lot of the time, like, when you are a founder and you're starting a business and suddenly you have an employee, like you just went from some rogue chick in your room with your cat, like in your studio in freaking Los Feliz, trying to like Google what, like how is wine made, like per me, like literally, from suddenly being a boss of like 20 people with investors who are like, you know, breathing fire down your neck all the time. Like, your job changes so dramatically, so fast, and people don't like... people don't have as much grace for women in that as they do for men.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And so I think there's, you know, for me, I mean, I guess part of it is just like transparency. Like, I'm not, I don't try to be, I hire the people around me because they're better at what they do than I am.
Ooh,
like, I'm not trying to be better than they are or like show them that I'm boss. I'm hiring them to learn from them. But you also have to be very careful with who you hire, because people do come from these like toxic environments and they bring that wherever they go. It's like coming from a toxic relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of it is just in the leadership and how the leadership interacts with one another, where like I'm lucky also, I work with my husband. He runs marketing here now.
We're gonna talk about Jeffrey.
I love him. But he was not, we were not together when I started the company. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't even met him. So he came in,
A
little bit later. But it's cool where when you're a CEO and you're like threatened by the people around you, I think that's where some of the toxic work culture starts to drip in. And it's the difference between like, it's like commanding authority through like fear versus inspiration. And as women, like, we just don't get as much leeway to figure out the difference.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if that is that, it, does that even answer your question?
It 1,000% answers and like gives me so much to think about, because it really is like you're not creating a company for yourself. And I really like that that was like always your MO, was not to be the best. You just wanted to create a product. And I think like building a legacy brand, or at least in my world, you know, where I am seeing YouTubers and shit, it really is all about you. And so to see a company that really promotes success just for the people that work there, you know, it reminds me a bit of BuzzFeed, where it was like, okay, we know these people are the best at food, so we're going to let them do that. We know this chick can talk about wine and being drunk, like, let her do that. And I think that that's so important when people, you know, either get a job at a startup or wherever in corporate world, that the company you're with makes you feel like you're a part of the success and not keeping that success to yourself.
For sure. And I think, you know, for it's the growth mindset. It's just like wanting to constantly learn. And I do think that, you know, some of what happens in the toxic culture environments for young entrepreneurs, from what I've seen, is like there is a heat behind entrepreneurs who take on venture funding that is not
talked about. For people that don't know what it is,
venture funding is basically like you go, it's like the episode of Silicon Valley where like Mark Zuckerberg or whatever, or the guy like walks into all of the rooms and is like, you know, give me a term sheet, like give me your money so I can go build my thing. And they all kind of like want a piece of it. And it's, you know, that's basically what it's like, those big boardroom things that you've like, that you hear about and read about. And, and you have these funds that are like putting money into young startups. Granted, that's a whole other story I could talk about all day because of the way that is just like totally skewed towards, only 2% of women get that funding. And it's I don't even like pretty much no one of color, no women of color. Yeah, like it's a disaster. Yeah. But once you get the resources that you need to actually build your vision, it comes with such a treadmill of pressure and like unrealistic expectations.
Wow.
Because if you think about it, when these people are like investing money, they're expecting 9 of their 10 investments to fail and 1 of their 10 to do like
blow up.
Right. And so it's like whereas maybe you're a business that like could have plugged along and like needed a little more time or needed, you know, or just had a little bit of a slower path, but was still going to get there. Like you're going to be under a pressure cooker all day, every day.
Well, I have to then like kind of pivot the conversation to mental health, because like I said, I've never seen you in a state of like stress. I mean, you are so honest on your Instagram, which I love, because you're talking all the time about like, I had a shit day, I'm crying, CEO life is so fucking hard. But like then in person, you present yourself so like happy. And I know that's not true. And it's,
I mean,
like,
same to you.
I mean, fair. I was just going to say, it's like the same as me, where it's like, we do love what we do. So it is easy to kind of switch back to like when I need to be myself. But I think what's made both of us successful is being like, I'm crying today, or like, you know, I'm literally wearing a shirt today that says cries in public, but I have to kind of pivot a little bit to mental health for a couple reasons, obviously, because it's my favorite thing to talk about. But like, I could not imagine having not only like the weight of that much money in my hands, but that many people counting on me, not only from like a position that's like technically higher than I, but employees. So like, how the fuck is your brain?
Oh my God, dude. It's like, sure, I present well, like ask Jeff. Literally yesterday I get home and I'm like, and I just sit on the couch and I just start crying. And Jeff looks at me and he's like, I was like, do you have the emotional bandwidth to hold space for me right now? And he's like, he literally is just like, not really, but okay.
I love that. That's also how you talk though to each other. Like, that's so beautiful.
Literally. He's like, when was the last time you called your therapist? I'm like, he's on vacation.
That explains a lot.
What do you want from me? I mean, it's tough, dude. Like, and I think, you know, the weight of some of the decisions that have to be made. I mean, like, especially in light of like a pandemic and a recession and all of this stuff, where like I've had to look at people and be like, I'm like, we had, you know, I work in the alcohol industry. We had an entire staff of people who just served restaurants, bars, clubs.
Yeah.
Like, I had to look at people and be like, I'm so sorry. Like, right. I can't.
We can't do this.
I,
yeah.
I, yeah. There's nothing I can do. Like, right. you know, and it's, and that weighs really heavy. And I think part of what, you know, I speak about to a degree, but, you know, it's also like, you don't want to, I am very honest, I will say, and I do mm-hmm. think that there's a lot of times, I wish in my early days of starting the business that like some of the people that I looked up to as female entrepreneurs, like I wish that there was someone I could have followed who was kind of like me.
More honest about it.
Yeah. So I just, I mean, I try to be honest, but also at the same time, like you've got, I mean, now I'm just telling you all my feelings, but like you've got, you know,
that's why we're here.
Investors are following it too. Right. And you need to be like stable enough for them totally. To feel comfortable, like mm-hmm. putting money behind you mm-hmm. and like blah, blah, blah. So there's just like this very fine line that I've kind of said, let's throw caution to the wind, like fuck it to
fuck
a degree
it, yeah.
more than others. But, you know, putting yourself out there is scary. But I guess what I was trying to say is like, it is, you know, when you have, and I'm sure you feel this way too, but like when you have a job and you have a boss mm-hmm. and, you know, it is someone's job to tell you like you did good.
And no like, one is telling you.
Nobody. It's no nobody's one. Job to do that. Like, right. and my investors, like, love them, but you either don't hear from them because things are going great, or you're getting hounded on because they're not, right? And like, and then it's your job to constantly fill the cups of others. And
what's
the
your
reality
sign,
is,
Leo? Right?
I'm a Cancer.
Oh, Cancer! So emotion,
yeah,
emotion.
So all
you
day
are
long.
You good at that? Are you good at filling other people's cup without like losing your cup completely?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Mm. I mean, I love filling people's cup. Jeff always says it to me like this. He's like, the problem with you when you need from others is that you are a water bottle and most people are a shot glass.
Yeah.
So you have the capacity to like fill their shot glasses over and over and over again. But then when you turn and you're like, fill me up, they're like, I'm doing everything I can,
right.
but I'm just a shot glass. Like I, right. there's no more, you know, and so it can... I've found that my personality with my friends can sometimes like bleed them dry a little.
Yeah. It's a little resentful, or like, how do you not get resentful a little bit?
It's yeah. Well, it's not even that. It's more that like, I can be like, you know, I mean, it's not so much resentful as it is them. How do I phrase it properly? Like that, like they can give me all that they have and it's
still not enough.
Still not enough. Yeah. And that makes me feel bad. Cause I'm like,
totally.
Wow.
Did you
I'm
watch
shitty?
Oh, come on. Did you watch Expecting Amy on HBO Max, Amy Schumer's new documentary about her being pregnant?
No, I need to.
I think you would love it. I binged it yesterday because someone recommended it to me because
I
of
need
like,
to.
I feel like you, me, and her all have like the same relationship.
Amy, let's
dynamic.
Be friends.
I know, right? Holy shit. Like, so bad. I want her to read my book so bad. I think we all three have the same relationship dynamic with our partners. And watching that made me a more actualized partner. Like it just made me more aware. And there's, you know, in their vows, there's clips from their wedding. Her husband says something about like, for the rest of my life, I'm excited to try and keep up with you. And like, I realized like, oh my God, Jared, you know, he has his own business. Like we don't even work together. And yet I get that like cup filleth from him because I know I can't get it from like interns or like my agents. Like I use him as my water fountain completely. And so like kind of shifting into your relationship with working with your fucking husband. First of all, I just want to tell the confidants, like you started dating Jeff when I started dating Jared. And
yeah,
like,
it was
we
very
were
like
ah! And now you guys are married.
Yeah.
So like, just tell me how that whole thing went and how he got involved in the business and like how the fuck that's successful. Cause he had a job before you.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did. So it was actually speaking of, it's kind of ties in with mental health. So Jeff and I got married, oh my God, almost a year ago.
Holy
weird. We wasted
shit.
No time. I was just like, I just want to be married to you. Aww. I just, I don't know. And it's funny cause I feel like with Corona and all this stuff, it's like you need to be more excited for the marriage than the wedding. Like we didn't really do a wedding. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to in June and it just didn't
you
happen.
You guys kind of eloped.
Like, yeah, we kind of eloped. But anyway, but also say I just got to a point last like October, November where the pressure like started to break me. Mm-hmm. Like I was super burnt out. I've been doing it for 2.5 years with no break and no reprieve. And I was just,
great word. Reprieve.
Yeah. No reprieve. And I was just, I was just exhausted and emotionally exhausted. Like I couldn't bring my full self to work every day. And that's the other thing too. Like when you're in a boss position or a position of authority, and I've had to say this to younger people on my team who are like looking to be managers and I'm in the kindest way possible, your feelings don't matter.
Oh yeah.
Like
100%.
They don't matter to the people who need you to be the strong thing for them. It's almost like I imagine being a parent. Like you're not going to go to your, 5-year-old and be like, listen, mommy needs some more wine. Like mommy's had a bad day. Like, you know what I mean? Like that person doesn't have. Yeah, and they don't have the capacity to understand the level of issue, nor do they want to, because that's just too much for them to carry, right?
That's a great point.
So I got to a point where I was just, as the business has gotten more and more successful, I've also gotten lonelier and lonelier. And I'm sure that you have, felt this in your own life.
You have to.
Because
you need more alone time.
Yeah, you need more alone time, but you also start to feel fewer and fewer people can relate to what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And I think it starts to make sense as to, why, certain, actors...
The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know, I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
Confidant, sober girlies, are you looking to cut back or cut out alcohol this year? Come on, join me and Zach on our sober journeys. Recess Zero Proof craft mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. We've recreated the cocktails you know and love, like a lime margarita and a grapefruit paloma, so you can enjoy the flavors and feelings of those cocktails without the booze. That's right, zero proof, zero compromise. Listeners can get 15% off the Recess mocktail sampler at takearecess.com/Kelsey. Each can is lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients like so many stress-balancing adaptogens made with real fruit and only 25 calories or less. It's a guilt-free way to unwind. Whether you're relaxing after work or hanging out with friends, make Recess mocktails your drink between drinks or, like me, your forever mocktail. I am so obsessed with the ginger lime mule and also the grapefruit paloma for spring. It's my favorite go-to weekend drink. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/Kelsey so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
Together and there's just a whole bunch of different that you start to be like, oh, that's why, because it's such a unique everyone has a unique experience. But anyway, but with Jeff, I was like having a total meltdown, could no longer deal. It was basically I actually was so stressed out. I was in the hospital twice for stroke-like symptoms.
Oh my God, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
What the fuck, Alix?
Yeah, it was bad. It was gnarly. I'm like, ha ha ha, so fun. But like, hey, we all go through the shit. Yeah, no, they thought I was having a stroke twice. It turns out they were like hemiplegic migraines.
I don't know what that means, but stress. I know migraines very well.
It means it basically like I lost all motor function.
Oh my God. I lose my whole right hand when I get my aura migraines. I don't know if you get the
auras.
Me
yeah.
too.
And that's crazy.
So
yeah,
it's sometimes people think it's the symptoms of you're about to have a stroke or a seizure.
They thought I was actually having one because I couldn't speak.
Oh my God.
I couldn't really see. I couldn't move my arms or legs. They had to carry me to the hospital. It happened twice. It was so horrible. And it was bad.
Was that happening like during the
day or
night?
Don't do this at home, kids.
Yeah.
The day. Like,
because
the first
I wonder, like, how do your employees see that happen to you? And how do you come back and be like, I'm just burnt out and almost had a stroke. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. Or is it like, hey, you guys all saw me in a very vulnerable position.
Well, not everybody saw it because it was at home. Like, I'd been working from home because I was just so stressed out to begin with that I just, like, on the days where I'm not great, you know, I have the luxury of being like, okay, I'm just not going to go in the office. Like, they're just not going to see it, you know, because, like, I really only want to show up in a way that's, like, productive for them and productive for the company.
Sure.
But I think basically at that point, yeah, it was gnarly. It was bad. And so I basically talked to Jeff, who is like an expert marketer. And
that's what he did before.
Yeah. So he did like the branding and marketing for March for Our Lives, the Women's March.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Just like such a good dude. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love him. I knew you guys were going to get married like the second I met him. I was like, shit, this is it.
Yeah, that's it. He's the greatest.
So that's like kind of like the universe being like, here's not only like a husband, but a marketing director.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They were like, here's the answer to your
But
problem.
He didn't it's start funny. Working for Bev until last year?
November.
You're kidding. Yeah. I thought he was way, way more.
No, he consulted. So he was working from home a lot. So he would work from the office. Like he would be around, but he did not. He was like separation of church and state, not doing it. No
that's
way.
That's what I was going to ask. How the fuck did you make this work? How?
Well,
I don't understand.
So, I mean, first I went to the ER twice. So that convinced
honey,
him. To,
I can't believe I didn't know that happened.
I know. It was
so
like,
sorry.
First time I've ever told anyone. Don't tell.
Really?
Ladies,
and did they say it's stress? Were they just like, stop?
Basically.
They didn't want to run, like, more tests or give you medication or anything?
Oh, I mean, they did. They ran, like, sleep tests. They did a whole bunch of, like, scans. They did all of the shit. But it was...
Buy pocketbook. Buy savings and medical insurance.
Literally. Fuck. Like, back to that...
Yeah.
Savings question. Bank account question. Yeah.
I hear you. I fucking hear you. Wow.
Well, that is also such a problem with mental health, too. I mean, it's just, like...
It's disgusting
how expensive it is to take care of yourself in this country.
And how privileged and how racist and how sexist it is. I mean, it's...
nuts. Yeah. It's nuts. But all to say, he agreed to help out for a couple months. And he was like, we'll do 8 weeks. That's it. And then it just started really working. And I just
Did
felt
he quit
like,
his other job?
At first, he was just consulting here, and then eventually, now he really works here full time.
And now, are you his boss?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, tell me what's
technically.
The fuck. Like, how did that conversation?
It.
He loves it. He's okay.
Yeah.
The power dynamic is not like fucked.
No, he just thinks that it's badass.
Oh my God, that
That's why
takes
he's
a
awesome.
Secure man.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately,
it does.
Like. That sucks.
He loves being like, yeah, you know.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah. that kind of goes back to what I was saying before about like hire people you could actually learn from to create that. So like I'm his boss. I wouldn't say like I would say more I'm just like the tiebreaker amongst the leadership team.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Like
they own their shit and it's very important to like give him agency of what he does where like when people try to go around him to me, I'm like, no, don't.
Like, and how do you turn off work at home? Or like, how do you say like, no, put down the phone, we're in bed or like, Is that a part? Your face is telling me it's not perfect.
Good question. I mean, honestly, we're usually so wiped by the time we get home that we're just like, we have a little bit of a routine. It's like episode of Parks and Rec, like get in bed, fall asleep, whatever. Yeah. And but you know, but what we do is so different, like within the organization, and because I trust him so much, like we have that implicit thing where he runs his own shop and I run mine. So there's still stuff to talk about, you know, like it's the still like, what did you do today?
It's so fascinating to me because like someone who has a severe anxiety disorder, I don't think I could ever give up control the way you do. How did you go like, I can breathe and let my baby and like my name and my brand out?
Oh my God.
To people.
This has been so hard. Like this has been so hard. I have really bad anxiety as well. Really bad. And, you know, I think I've had situations where I've like been like, okay, I'm going to let you have the keys to the kingdom and do your job. And that person did not deserve it and should not have had that, you know, ability. And, it's bitten me. And then I've had situations where I've controlled too much such that I've like stifled someone by accident and that has been bad. And so I think it's really just been for me a lesson in like pacing out like trust and control and at what pace do you give away the keys to the kingdom, if so to speak. And you know, and I'm lucky cause I work with people that I just trust. Like, some of them are my family. Some of them I trust like my family.
And your friends too, right? Like you hired a lot of your friends.
Yeah. Not always a great idea at the beginning. it either goes great or terribly. Like I think working with Jeff, who I know has my best interest at heart, the company's best interest at heart above all else, and working with like an Alex who similarly, or Charlotte, you know, all these people with whom I'm very close on a personal level, it helps ease the anxiety of giving things away such that when you get new, you know, people who are subject matter experts, like, first of all, the culture is not one of like, the culture is mission before self, you know? So that helps.
That's like very interesting. I want to talk a little about confrontation and conflict because I would rather lay on a bed of knives and lick Donald Trump's toes than get into a confrontation. Like there is something very deep inside of me that like I clearly have never worked out in therapy where like I can be a cold hard cunt and like walk away from something. But I think when I'm actually invested in it, like I would rather die than have confrontation. And I've seen, I mean, like you, like I said, you're very transparent. You put your shit out there, like of when you've been like, hey, founders and CEOs, like here's an example of confrontation, like how I had to handle this. And like, how the fuck do you handle confrontation and conflict in your life and business and all that?
Oh my God. It's so funny that you say that because I was talking to Jeff about this recently where I'm just, I call them hardo days, like days I have to be a hardo essentially sometimes. And this is not a joke. This is real. Sometimes like I'll actually watch the first 20 minutes of The Devil Wears Prada, like the night before. I have to be like, and I just hate it because I am not a boundary drawer. Like I don't like that. I like not
full
having
self.
Them. Like I like letting people into my space, being in other people's space, like whatever. But I've found recently, especially I've had to have a lot of confrontation and like getting people, you know, standing up for like protecting the business, protecting employees. Like, you know, I've had to have a shitload of difficult conversations recently.
And even just like thinking about that, I'm like, oh God, my anxiety is like, whoa.
It's exhausting. Like it's just by the end of the day, I will leave at 6 and just like lay on my couch and just be like, I'm done. That's it. I can't.
How did you learn how to do that? Because I think that that's something a lot of young women can really benefit from, is like learning how to have those hard conversations. And like, I always try and think of like the four agreements where it's like, don't ever take anything
personally. I love
that book. Yeah.
And that's like one of my favorites.
That's like how I try, and it never sticks, like in those moments where it's really hard, I forget everything goes out the window. So like, do you have any advice about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I do. So this is where, you know, some people are like, they have an alter ego when they're like going out or whatever. I have an alter ego when I have to be a hard ass on other people or like have direct conversations.
What's her name?
It's just Alex because I'm a leeks. And so it's like, all right, whatever. And I have these little tics. And it's kind of funny because the people who work here who have been here a long time and know me extremely well know what they are. And now so do all of you. But if I have to have – I do some things that make it feel almost like I'm putting on a suit and then I'm taking it off. And so it's almost like an act – like I'm acting. Like I'm
– a different hat.
Tapping into a – yeah, I'm tapping into a part of myself, and I do it very physically. That helps me. So, like, if I have to let go of someone, for example, or have, like, a super tough conversation with someone, you will almost always catch me in a cashmere sweater that's oversized. Because, like, if I have to do something hard, I want everything comfort. To be soft.
Yeah.
And I'm almost always wearing glasses. Because
I recognize that girl in you, for sure. Because I know Alex.
You know what I'm talking about? Because I need to – if I'm doing that – it, in a weird psychological way, this sounds so silly, but it makes me feel like
shielded.
There's like a wall. Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, okay, so I will literally be like, all right, today's one of those days. Like I put on a, you know, baggy cashmere sweater and like that probably used to belong to my dad and like my glasses. And then I just like summon it from like deep, deep in here, like deep in my gut. And then I'm like, okay, out she comes. I'm going to be super. And I try to do it like all at once. And like, for example, I'll say things to myself, like I'll look in the mirror and I'll be like, so what I want to say is like, I don't understand why you guys are giving me like not a great valuation on my, you know, investment, for example, I don't know, like this is kind of, or like, hey, you did like, do you really think you did a great job on that? And then I'll like look in the mirror and I'll be like, okay, let me summon it up. Like, oh, come on, Jack. Like, you fucking know that we're worth more than that. Don't be ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll, like, literally do the thing. Switch. Or I'll be like, you know you did a shitty job on this. Like, come on, let be, like, level with me.
That
like,
psychological stuff is actually very true because
it works.
I forget what the book is, or maybe it's a YouTube video, but Jared, before he went and bought the RV a couple weeks ago, watched this video about, like, negotiation. And it was like a same tactic, like a verbal tactic that was like, you know, come on, man. Like, you know that this.
You're a smart guy.
Yeah. Like, how can we both win here? Like, I think this is going to be good for both. And I was like watching it like, oh, shit, this shit real. Like the tactics you have to learn and the psychology of confrontation. I could use like a course in that if you want.
And it's hard as a woman, especially because it's like you become confrontational and suddenly you're a bitch versus versus like Jeff and I have been having an issue with our landlord and I'm like, you text her because if I do it, I'm a bitch. And if you do it, you're just asserting your
dominance.
Authority, your dominance and like what you rightly.
And you know, like giving yourself believe. That space where you're like, I have so much other shit to deal with. Like, compartmentalizing things, I think, is also really important for women, is being like, where am I putting my energy? And I think I ruminate to an insane fucking... Oh, is that Harold?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh my God, no. I hope everyone's watching this on youtube.com/KelseyDara because you'll get to see Harold, Roldy, the orange foofy baby kitty cat.
Baby, he wants to say hello.
Hi, Harold. Bye. Bye-bye. My cat's
on
here.
On with your journey.
A full potato. He hasn't moved like the entire time. But rumination for me is, I mean, it's a huge chapter in my book because I will have a conversation that is tough. And then even now, like 6 months later, I'm thinking about that person and their feelings and how I said the conversation. And it's like debilitating. Like, I think that's how I realized that I do have a bit of OCD tendencies is because the repetition of emotional, like it feels very masochistic. And I think that's why I could never be in your position.
if I tap into like a time I had to have a really tough conversation with someone, it almost, you know, when you go and you get an MRI and they like shoot you with the stuff that gives you like a metallic taste and it's like, you don't feel anything. And then suddenly you feel like a like, and then it stops.
And then it gone. Yeah.
Like, when I have to confront people, I get like swooshes of that, sour, like throughout the day. Like every time I think about it, or if I think back on a time I had to have a tough conversation, it just like shoots through my veins and like a pulse. What you're saying.
And I don't feel myself. I was talking with this about Jared last night, like about fighting with him. I was like, I hate it when we fight because my body elevates itself physically into like a different atmosphere, and it's someone I don't recognize and it's someone I hate. And so like, how can I become friends with that process of like, I don't even know if it's just something as simple as like being more aware of my body or like grounding myself in those moments. But like, I have a lot of work to do when it comes with like the hard stuff. But
Jeff is big into belly breathing. That like, ooh, helps love him that. A lot. Like he stays very grounded no matter the. And I don't know. He's like, I'm like the waves, and he's like the bottom of the ocean.
Oh my God. I call Jared my grotto. He's like my strong, and he calls me his firework. Like, I'm his firecracker. Like, I'm always like, and he's my safe, like, smooth, secure.
Yeah. They're super similar.
Yeah. Like, what's his sign?
Libra.
So is Jared.
There you go. That's what it is. That's what it
is. So his birthday is coming up too. But, winding down a little bit into our conversation, which has been so fun and fascinating, I do want to talk about just like the future now for you. Like, you're married, so it's like, okay, big breath out. Like, you've got multi-million dollar company evaluation and success, and you're sending out Harold. Please don't ever move him. He belongs in this shot. I love him. Like, to me, the outsider, you're in a great place, but I know that that's all a lie. Like, I know that it's always evolving and, like, nothing's ever, like, good because you can't enjoy success because you're a woman like me who, like, the second you enjoy success, you're like, oh, no, I'm not doing.
I'm evil. Yeah. I'm not doing enough.
I'm not doing as much as I could. I should constantly be stressed, and that's how I thrive and succeed. So, like, what is the future for you? Like, most people would be like, oh, she's done. Like, she did it. So what?
Oh, LOL.
Like, what else do you want?
Yeah, well, barely. I mean, we've just scratched the surface with the business, and I think until it's really nationwide and we can launch different types of products and different lines that aren't just necessarily booze and stuff like that, like from a business perspective, I think that is that's the natural progression, so to speak. But I just think it's funny because, like, every time you get to a point, like you're saying, it's like you turn a bend and then you realize that there's a whole new
other hill
world. Yeah. And it's like every, this cat.
Harold, I love him. He wants to be part of this.
Yeah. He wants to be part of it. It's like every single time. Right. And so I think it's constantly growing. It's constantly evolving. And, and obviously I've just been like low key bugging Jeff about like when we get to do family starting, but it's probably not going to be.
Everyone's making
soon.
COVID babies, which like kind of makes me wonder too. Tell me about like COVID with your life and business.
It's weird. I mean, people are definitely drinking, which is both like great, happy and sad. Yeah. and that's been kind of tough, but but it's just a different way of selling. He needs to leave. You need to leave.
Bye, Harold. You big foofy cat.
Yeah, he's gonna literally just run around the desk and jump up again. I'm gonna pull him out. But yeah. So I think what's next is just like one foot in front of the other, one day at a time, and until we really, I don't know. I feel like I really should be getting to like there should be an emotional place where I'm like, okay, now I did it, but I just know it's not really gonna.
But like, get how there. Did you come out of that like hospitalization era of your life? Like, how did you
like the recent one or the old one?
No, but I mean both. Listen, like obviously the most recent one, it happened again. So like, how did you come out of that? Like, I joke about like, oh my God, all CEOs and founders are the same. Like, they all do retreats and meditate and they're vegans. But it's like, yeah, I think it's because you run your body.
I'm like a big steak eater, for the record.
Me too. But like, I think it's because we all run our bodies into the fucking dirt. And like, you just naturally become one of those people who does.
It's so funny you say that because it's like, it's easy to have comedy around like, oh, off they go to like some fucking retreat, like meditating somewhere, like who, whatever. I don't know.
They're those but, people. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. So bougie. Like what, white people problems or whatever it is.
Champagne problems. Yeah.
Champagne problems. And I do think that there is, the more extreme you let your life be and your work be, the more extreme the measures need to be for you to recenter, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, the more, you know, there are some people that I know who, you know, who live very, very stressful lives, but like the scale of what they're dealing with, or they're just better at, they're just not as extreme as individuals. And so they might have like a way that they chip away every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like a, like, I go and I go and I go and I go, and then I hit a wall and then I like fall down and have to like drag myself back up. And then I go all the way again. And I think that's kind of, you know, I think, I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, but it absolutely does. Like, what did you do specifically this last time?
This time? I had to just take some time, first of all. Like, and it wasn't, like, cute or pretty, you know? It was, like, a lot of crying, a lot of sleeping. Yeah, you know what I mean? And my COVID, for me personally, like, I know it's been really tough on the whole world. But for me, I don't know where I would be if it hadn't happened, because it forced me to slow down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I was like really in a tough, like I was about to go out and have to raise again and be constantly on a plane and, you know, just running myself ragged. And when it hit, I was like, oh my God, thank God. Like I can cut the shit that's been killing me. And so it actually gave me the opportunity to reassess like how I was spending my time, who I was spending it with, like whether I really needed to be on literally like 3 cross-country flights in a week.
It's going to change the way we do business.
Yeah. It's just been, you know, it's been, really liberating in that way for me personally.
I've been saying the same thing. I'm like, it's allowed me to thrive.
Yeah, me too. And explore things with the time that I otherwise wouldn't have had the time or energy for. Mm-hmm. And I will say that, like, for those listening who are going through like a tough spot or really severe anxiety or depression, especially for the first time, I do think that after it doesn't get easier, but you get more equipped to handle it.
Totally.
You know, and I think that like the first time that I was really depressed was in college, and I really did not think that there was another side, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think, and then like the second time I was like, all right, like I know that, I know I can't see it, but I know it's there, you know? And, and then, you know, and then like the most recent time it was like, all right, well, okay, here we go again.
And it's like,
how long is this shit going to take this time?
Exactly. It's kind of like, what's that quote is like, life doesn't get easier, you get stronger, where it's like now, and it has taken a very long time, and I can't say that I'm a pro at it, but when those spirals happen, which is often, it takes a lot of taking myself out of it to go like, you've been through this before, or like something like this that you thought was it, that you were ready to like kill yourself over, you got
literally
over. Yeah, and it's like,
yeah, I mean, when people ask me about Bev and like, oh, you must be, what's the thing you're most proud of, blah blah blah, like the company is great, it's all well and good, but the thing that I personally am the most proud of is what I overcame to be able to do it.
I was fucking the time love right that
before, you know,
that's, I think that's such a beautiful thing to kind of wrap up on, because I think that that's like important for people to hear, especially right now, is like what people are going through and struggling through right now is going to be the fucking energy and the beef, for I don't know what other word to use, of like what is going to feed you later. I don't know why I said beef, maybe because it was, we were talking about steak.
I mean, steak, whatever.
Yeah, but like really this is the kind of shit that makes you, and I think that that's why like people who have really struggled are some of my favorite people, like the people that have overcome and have seen the other side are my favorite types of people to work with and be around, because it's just like, oh, you've seen the bottom too? I saw you down there at the bottom. Yeah, it was dark down there.
Nice scene up here. Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's like, oh, light. You look good in light, you know? But Alix, this has been such an amazing conversation. I've been wanting to do this forever with you. I hate the word like pick your brain, but like I've been wanting to ask you the hard questions for so long, because I admire you so much, and I think what you do is so fantastic.
Oh my God,
and so
likewise.
important what you're doing, and I want all the confidants to know about not only Bev, because it's a fantastic drink and all the shit you can get in a can these days is mind blowing, but also like your mission of what you do for other women and your podcast, which I'm going to go now do an episode of Made by yes. Chicks, and like how people can get involved and like just promote, do what you got to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, 100%. Oh my God. Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, our podcast is called Made by Chicks. We have an Instagram at Made by Chicks, and my company is Bev. It's at Drink Bev. And if you want to order some and try it, you can order online at drinkbev.com and use the code Made by Chicks for 20% off.
Yeah. There and you shipping is all, you say shipping is on you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Always. I love that.
It's all wrapped up into a nice little bow for you.
The bow of Bev. Thanks so much, Leeks. Confidants, don't forget to rate this 5 stars on iTunes. And if it's not 5 stars, please don't do it because I'm very sensitive. You can check this out on youtube.com/KelseyDara. My cat's feeder is going off in the background. It is lunchtime. You can follow us at ConfidentlyPod on all the things. And don't forget to write us an email at confidentlyinsecurepodcast@gmail.com. Leeks, thank you. I love you. I'll see you in like a second on your podcast. Bye.
Bye.